Hi, I'm Malachi, and you're listening to the Judge a Book podcast. Downloads and reviews help us out a ton, so leave us 5 stars before you go. Every single week, join in for our book club where we talk about the books that we love, or maybe not so loved. New books will be chosen every month, and you'll get to listen to exactly how we judge a book. Back. It is the final week or final episode of the Aragon podcast.
I'm so excited.
Yes, we finally get to talk about all of our thoughts. Spoilers are ahead. If you've not finished the book, don't keep listening because we're about to talk all things Aragon. As you have kind of seen, I just want to do a little bit of an update. As you've kind of seen, we're a little bit off track with our schedule right now. As this video is up, the first episode of A Good Girl's Guide to Murder is also up. If you want to check that out, we're reading part one and discussing that, and I'm talking about it with my new co-host, Sarah. So read the book, listen to that episode, and we're back on track. So every Monday, you will get a new episode. I'm back with Christian.
Hi, Malachi.
Hi, Christian. And we're ready to kind of talk about what happened. So before we kind of get into everything, I'm going to talk about what we read this week. This week's episode of the Judge a Book podcast is brought to you in part by Ibotta, a cashback rewards app that I use to make real money every time I shop for groceries, online purchases, and more. If you want to sign up for Ibotta, use my code in the pod description. I love Ibotta, and I recently hit the 100 club, meaning I've earned a $100 cashback, which of course I'm going to be using for books. So if you want to sign up for Ibotta, use the code in my description below and earn cash back on your everyday purchases. So as we ended our week 3 reading, we stopped on the chapter Hunting for Answers. So we're reading from Hunting for Answers all the way through the end of the book. And we ended up where Aragon, Saphira, Arya, and Murtagh all just got pulled through the water fountain or the waterfall.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we ended.
Yeah, it was last week really ended at a cliffhanger, I felt like, and I was super excited to get through this week's reading.
Yes. After they've got pulled through the waterfall, they kind of are in this kind of tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
They are immediately met with
things. Yeah, there's a dwarf. Mm-hmm. There's a bald person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're a Varden.
Yes, and as we're met with them, they say that they can't continue on until they've been tested. And what testing means is that they're about to get their minds probed by this bald guy.
Which I thought was terrifying.
Yes, it was. And as it kind of got described, it was terrifying as well. But as this is all happening and they're kind of discussing it, Oryk, who is the dwarf,
mm-hmm.
he steps in and kind of interrupts and says, there is an injured elf, and if we let this elf die, we're going to be in trouble.
And this just kind of sets the scene, the stage to me, that Oryk is a friend and that this bald person is not.
Yes. So Arya gets sent off to the medics. Aragorn kind of conveys that she needs this anecdote, mm-hmm. and all of that is said and done. And we come back to the mind probing. So the twin kind of gets in Aragorn's mind. He's trying to decide if Aragorn is for or against the Varden. And he says not to throw up any barriers and just let it happen, or there's going to be consequences. But Aragorn does put up some mind barriers with the help of Saphira, including Murtagh's backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that the Varden won't know his background. Also, some words of power he puts his mind around so that the twin doesn't learn the words of power that Brom gave him at the end of his life.
Yes. And then it's Murtagh's turn, and he's like, nope, no way, not gonna
happen. He refuses.
Mm-hmm. He straight up refuses. And that is kind of the end of it. They say that he can't be trusted if he doesn't get his mind probed, mm-hmm. but Murtagh is not here for that.
So then they get, left in a jail cell?
Yes, they get put in a jail cell, mm-hmm. and Aragorn and Murtagh are talking. Aragorn says, I didn't tell them about your past, and I feel like Murtagh takes that as kind of a sign of trust and mm-hmm. decides to open up and tell Aragorn all about his past.
Which is very interesting.
Yes, it is. It's about how he, as we already know, was the son of a Forsworn, mm-hmm. so he was raised around the king, and when he turned 18, the king wanted him to be in his ranks as part mm-hmm. of his team, but things did not go very well. Murtagh had some moral dilemmas with that and ended up running away and escaping from the king, and that's why Murtagh is in hiding. He's in hiding from both the king, and the Varden don't like him because he's tied to the Force One.
Yeah, Murtaugh's kind of in between a rock and a hard place.
He is.
So something that I thought was really interesting was the King's speech and how through his, I guess, buttery words, he was able to convince Murtaugh to join his cause.
Oh, yes. And then, like, afterwards, he's not the same nice guy kind of... I don't know how to describe it, but he's not that
He obviously has some kind of magical influence with his words that kind of inspire others to join his cause, mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty terrifying.
Yeah. After this, so Oryk comes to the jail cell and tells Aragorn he needs to go meet Ajahad, who is the leader of the Varden.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go on this, kind of, it's a bit of a journey. I think mm-hmm. it takes him a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe an hour or so, maybe a little more.
To get through the tunnels.
They end up in Trondheim, which is the city for the dwarves, essentially.
And it's beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Stunning.
They describe it so well. Everyone kind of crowds around, and Oryk tells Aragorn to get on Saphira's back before they kind of enter into all the people.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone crowds around and is staring at them, and they're just kind of in awe, and they all look like they're ready for battle. Isn't that right?
They're all wearing weapons. Like, mm-hmm. they're all ready to fight if they need to.
Yeah.
Which is very... It's probably different from where he came from.
Yes. And as he goes to where Ajahad is, we find out that there is a second one of the little bald men.
Yes, and that they're twins.
And that they're twins.
Which I thought was a really strange visual mentally.
Yes. And Murtaugh is with them as well. And Ajahad recognizes Murtaugh's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Murtaugh reveals himself by the scars on his back. And so Ajahad knows who he is.
How interesting that he remembered his voice.
Yes, he must have a unique voice.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is Ajahad finds out Murtaugh wouldn't let the twins probe his mine and says, well, if that doesn't happen, we can't trust you, so we're going to imprison you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with Murtaugh.
Yep, he decides that he'd rather be imprisoned than give up the one thing he has left, which is his sanctity in his mind.
Yes. So Ajahad makes Aragorn kind of go through the whole story about why he has Arya with him, what's going on, why he's with Murtaugh, what happened to Brom, all of that. So Aragorn kind of tells his story,
mm-hmm.
and we get to the part about the Shade. We find out the Shade's name is Durza,
mm-hmm.
and that the Shade did not die.
Unfortunately.
He didn't. He will come back if he's not shot through the heart.
Yes, he has to be, what, stabbed through the heart? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And then we also find out a little bit more about Saphira and her egg, and how for all of these years while they have been waiting for Saphira's egg to hatch, the egg has been passed back and forth between the dwarves and the elves.
And we learn that elves are still around.
Yes, which we know because of Arya, mm-hmm.
But we learned about...
A little bit more about them.
Yeah, an elven city.
Mm-hmm. And so it's done like this so that no one team kind of has more power.
Mm-hmm.
But as team, faction, group of people, the whole story kind of behind Arya that we find out is that she was transporting the egg between the two factions as normal, mm-hmm. when all of this happened. And that caused a lot of issues when she got captured because the Queen of the Elves no longer trusted the dwarves. They thought that they had Arya. And all kinds of issues. They weren't getting their supplies anymore. So it caused a lot of tension between those two factions.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
Ajahad also warns Aragorn that now that he's a rider and people know about it, that he's going to have a lot of power. And he's immediately put into a position of power and people are going to assume that power to him.
Yeah, he's going to be very influential with what he says and does.
Yes, and we see that almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
A group of people kind of come up to Aragorn, and one lady grabs him by the foot. She has a baby, and she wants this baby to be blessed, and Aragorn does, and so does Saphira, leaving a, like, silvery mark, kind of like Aragorn's palm mm-hmm. on the head. But as we see in a little bit, that kind of causes some issues because it changes that baby's life and rank in the society immediately.
It does.
Because they've kind of put a hero future on her. So after this baby blessing, Aragorn and Saphira go up to the little dragon loft that they have.
Mm-hmm, which is a really cool area, I think.
Yes, and guess who's there? Solumbum! I was not expecting this.
Me either, yeah. He keeps making his way back into the story.
Yeah, so Solomon's there. He leads him to Angela. They kind of talk to Angela about how she got there and all of that. I won't get into all of that, but they meet Solomon and Angela, and it's kind of a little reunion. Then we get another little encounter. Aragorn meets King Hroth. Hrothgar.
Hrothgar.
Mm-hmm. Aragorn meets King Hrothgar, and King Hrothgar really just wants to know Aragorn's intentions. What are his plans for the future? Does he plan to take over in a position of power? He also is very honored to meet Saphira, and just kind of talks to them about all of their intentions.
And it's interesting to me how you have a dwarf king and the leader of the Varden kind of coexisting in the same area.
Yes. After this, Aragorn goes to the library with Oryk, and the twins kind of corner Aragorn and want to know if he wants to be part of their little magic gang.
Yeah, and Aragorn figures out pretty quickly that the reason they want him to join the magic gang is so they can learn his words of power that they do not know.
Aragorn pretty much just tells them, I'm going to have to think about it, but Saphira warns him, I don't think that these guys have the best intentions in mind. They go back up to the little dragon loft, and Nisweta? Al-Jahad's daughter, long story short, shows up with a message that Aragorn is to be tested in his magic and his swordsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now that he's had some time to rest, he's to go kind of get tested so they know his skill set. She also tells him to go visit Murtagh, because Murtagh is getting lonely in jail. And so the next scene that we kind of see is that Aragorn, it's the next day. He decides to go visit Murtagh the next day. But that day, he goes down to the training field, and he's about to be trained in his swordsmanship and his fighting skills when the twins show up, and they decide that they're going to test him on magic first. And they put him through all of these rigorous tests.
It's a very, very extreme descriptions. It seems very stressful.
Yes, and as we've seen throughout the book, just doing one thing seems to really, wear Aragorn down. And they spent, over an hour testing him on things. And he kind of picks up, they're kind of trying to learn stuff from me. So he's whispering his words. And then they finally tell him to extract the silver from this ring. And Aragorn doesn't even know what word to even begin, and then Arya kind of comes in and intervenes and says, that's something only masters can do. You guys are ridiculous.
Yeah, she says, not even you two can do this, so why would you ask him?
And so she says pretty much he's passed the magic test, we don't need to keep going, and immediately begins fighting him on the sword.
And it was really interesting, her wording. She challenges him to trial by combat, which I thought was interesting. I wonder if she feels like she owes him something because he saved her life.
I'm sure that she does, but yeah, she's an excellent swordswoman, swords elf.
Swords elf.
and she ends up besting him, but still says that he passed this test.
Well, and Aragorn remembers while they're dealing that Bronn warned him that a human could never contend with a skilled elf.
Yes. After this, Arya kind of runs off up this hill, and Aragorn meets her up there when he was meeting the king, I believe, but it might have been Al-Jahad. I can't remember which one. They gave him Brom's ring, which had that symbol that matched Arya's tattoo that he had noticed before, and so he brings it up to her and asks her about it, and she says, don't tell anybody about my tattoo, but keep that ring, because it will help other elves trust you in the future if you ever come up to them.
Yeah, it's like a mark of endearment by the elves.
Mm-hmm.
So Brom was well-regarded by the elves, apparently.
Yes. So then after all of this, Aragorn is going to meet Murtagh in jail, and Murtagh's happy as can be.
Yeah, he's having a great time.
He has a pretty nice setup. It's not really jail,
but
it is quote-unquote imprisonment, but he's hidden from the Varden and hidden from the king, so he has no desire to leave at this point. He's kind of happy where he's at. Aragorn, after this long day, finally gets to go to bed and is woken in the middle of the night. He doesn't even get a full night's sleep and is informed that the Urgals are planning an attack from beneath the city. I think a dwarf came back bloody and informed everyone of this. And so Aragorn's woken in the middle of the night, and they kind of discuss their plan. And the plan is to collapse the tunnels. They send all the women and children off. They're going to collapse the tunnels, and that's kind of all they have planned so far.
Yeah, collapse all the tunnels except for three, I believe,
to
force the Urgals to come out of those three tunnels specifically.
And they kind of set up in three teams of battle.
Yeah, they have three, three battalions, I guess is what you would say, of both dwarves and human Varden together. So I'm suddenly reminded of a tower defense game where where the enemies are coming in from three entryways, and you've got, these three armies that are just set up at the entrance to kind of engage them as soon as they enter. We really set the stage for a colossal fight.
So as they're kind of getting all set up, Oryk brings armor for Saphira, which was really neat.
It was very cool.
Really cool. It was just seemed really neat that Saphira gets to have this armor that other dragons have had.
Mm-hmm. They've had it. I guess they've had it kind of laying around for the past 100 years or so. Mm-hmm.
The king informs Aragorn that he is to mentally communicate with the twins because he knows Aragorn can do the mental communication, and that's going to be kind of their tie between the like home base and the battlefield.
Very useful.
Yes, the battle begins. I'm not going to go into all of the details of the battle, but there are really cool scenes. Angela shows up and ends up saving Aragorn's life at one point. Mm-hmm. Arya's doing some really
cool incredible stuff. Writing.
Yeah, it's just really great. It's a nice scene. Kind of after Angela ends up saving Aragorn's life, the twins communicate with Aragorn and say the Urghuls are coming up through one of the tunnels and we need help. So Aragorn, Arya, and Saphira fly back to kind of the little dragon landing that they were going to be mm-hmm. in because Saphira is injured. Arya is going to stay up in their kind of room and help heal Saphira.
Mm-hmm.
And Aragorn wants to get down to where the twins are. So he takes that little
slide that's mentioned earlier
for the dwarf sized slide.
tries not to fall out.
Yes, he gets nauseous and dizzy and whatever, but he gets down to the ground and of course the twins aren't there. Right as that's happening, here come all the Urghuls up into the city.
Mm-hmm. Into Tronchim.
Yes. And
Durza is there.
Yes, and then Durza shows up. Nice to see you again. Durza's there. The Urghuls kind of surround Aragorn and Durza, the Shade, into kind of like a ring kind of situation. They're kind mm-hmm. of in the middle. Physically fighting, they're mentally fighting. Aragorn gets into the Shade's mind and sees all of his past.
Which was really interesting.
It was. But really, Aragorn doesn't have a strong enough defense against the Shade. The Shade is about to defeat Aragorn when a big explosion happens. And then here comes Arya and Here comes Arya and Saphira.
The giant, probably very expensive jewel encrowned in the ceiling gets shattered.
Arya shatters that mm-hmm. to kind of cause a distraction. And then here comes Saphira blowing fire for the first time.
Which was very crazy to read.
Yes. While the Shade is distracted by this explosion, Aragorn takes the chance. We get Brisinger
mm-hmm.
and shoots the Shade through the heart with that magical shot. After that, surprise, surprise, Aragorn passes out.
For probably the 7th or 8th time in this book.
A millionth time in this book. And when he wakes up, he finds out that they won the battle because mm-hmm. after the Shade died, all of the Urghuls turned on themselves and started fighting each other. And there is no news about the twins. Aragorn doesn't find out anything. He kind of questions, but there's no news about them,
mm-hmm.
which is sus.
Definitely sus.
Aragorn has a voice in his mind. I think it's while he's still passed out.
Mm-hmm. While he's dreaming, I think.
Yeah. It's Thado? Mm-hmm. Ostado?
Yeah.
And Ostado is this voice. We really don't hear a lot. We don't know a lot about him, but he tells him to follow Arya to
Elsmira,
which is the land of the elves.
Mm-hmm. Up in the I'm going to butcher this, but Duveldenvarden, which is like the forest at the top of the world.
Yeah, so that's kind of all we hear, and that's kind of where we end.
And the book ends.
Yes.
it just ends.
It does just end.
We're left with Aragorn recuperating, you know, and Arya and Murtagh are, you know, presumably alive. I think Arya may be in there with him
mm-hmm.
in the end. And he's got this voice telling him to come to Elsmira. He knows that he's supposed to go there anyway to complete his training.
Yeah, Murtagh is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not imprisoned now because the battle, I think, was kind of his trust that they gained trust by him fighting with mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. So it's a really crazy place to end. And I wish there was more. And I'm so excited to get into the next book myself, personally.
Question number one, what did you think?
I thought that this book grew as we approached the end. I feel that a lot of the information that we found out in the last quarter of the book about the different factions and the lore behind the world, I feel like it would have been more interesting if we got to learn those things sooner. The pace was really slow in the beginning, and it kind of picked up as we went along. I feel like the second half of this book was much better than the first half. I really enjoyed Paolini's world building in this. I wish it would have happened earlier, but the way that he set up this world as the struggle between really the, you've got Galbatorix in the kingdom, you have Cirta, you have the Varden, you have the dwarves, and you have the elves. All of these factions have different political aims and goals and ambitions, and I find that to be very interesting, and I hope that the future novels go into this. I thought that was really interesting, and then in the middle of all of this are the Dragon Riders, and Aragorn is the only one other than Galbatorix himself.
What would you rate it out of 5?
I would give this book a 4. I really enjoyed it. I think that there were some things that were lacking, but not for trying. Although there, you know, there are some things that I probably would have changed about, you know, character development. I feel that the world was extremely enjoyable. I think that the drama that's been set up for the next 3 novels is very interesting. It's gripped me, and it makes me want to read the rest of the series. Also, just the idea of, you know, kind of being a knight on dragon back is pretty awesome. So, yeah, I'm going to give the book a 4.
I would say I didn't enjoy it all that much. Mm-hmm. I will say it was an okay book. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 stars. I just found that it was lacking in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. It was very predictable what was going to happen. The end, to me, even though I thought it was better than the first, I felt like it was very rushed. We got this entire battle scene and kind of the whole thing this entire book has been building up to in 1 chapter. The next to last chapter is really all we got from all of this buildup. But, and I will give the author a lot of credit for writing it at age 15. I think that's really good for that. But I would say that this book is more highly rated, mostly because it's one of those nostalgic books that people like from when they were younger. Like,
probably so.
Like, books like Percy Jackson, Harry Potter, Narnia. They're books that people read at a younger age, and I feel like they're epic series that people just really latch onto and enjoy. But I think it gets its higher rating for nostalgia and not so much that it is just this amazing book.
Certainly. And I think that looking back on Aragorn will be interesting, continuing through the series. I think that the rest of the series really will kind of make or break my opinion of Aragorn. If Aragorn ends up setting up a great trilogy to come, then, you know, I'll probably look back more favorably on it. If the rest of the series is the same, then maybe it's almost a 3 to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just I feel like I'm going to be expecting more out of the next 3 books, and I guess we'll see if we get that or not.
Also, if I was rating it off the audiobook, I would probably even give it a lower score, because I felt like the audiobook was not very good. It just didn't portray Saphira in the right way to me, and she's obviously, like, the main focus of this book. I mean, Aragorn's the main focus, but
really, it's about Saphira.
Is a big
this is it's basically Saphira's book.
And I feel like the guy who narrated just yeah, not my fart answered this, but let's talk about sequels. Do you plan to read the sequels? What's your kind of plan?
I certainly plan to read the sequels, and this is kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to give Aragorn a 4, because it did grip me enough to make me want to continue learning about how the drama unfolds. I don't think I can go the rest of my life without knowing what becomes of Aragorn and King Galbatorix. So, author, you have done that at least well enough. And I'm hopeful that the world can continue to expand, that maybe it was difficult to bring the world from their little valley to this large conflict in one novel. Maybe that was a bit of a challenge, and hopefully with the groundwork set in this book, maybe the next ones are going to just get better and better.
Yeah, it's hard for me because this is a YA book. I wouldn't say it's middle grade. It's more teen and YA, so it's kind of hard to compare. But to Percy Jackson and Narnia, which are so much shorter books each, I feel like their world building still is incredible,
mm-hmm.
but they do it in a lot less time, where Aragorn is a 500-page book, and I still feel like he took so much time with this build-up, again, letting me down with the action only being 1 chapter of the book.
Well, and to add on to that, I personally, I don't dislike that it was a long book. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the traveling across the world that they did. And the slower pace is okay to me. I mean, it really is like the Lord of the Rings in a lot of ways. I mean, Aragorn, you know, there's a lot of similarities between the two. But I think that Aragorn's personality, the decisions that he made, and some kind of plot holes, I guess I would say, like when Arya was just magically at the prison, mm-hmm. things like, you know, with fate, that the author didn't necessarily have to make those decisions. Things like that, if they were just a little different, then I would think this would be a masterfully written book.
Yeah. For me, I, like you, want to find out what happens next because I feel like this book didn't really wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I didn't enjoy Aragorn all that much. And the next books are even larger and an even bigger commitment. And just not knowing when this is going to wrap up, if it's just going to drag on and on, mm-hmm. is hard for me. So I haven't decided if I'm going to read the sequels yet.
Yeah, and if they handle the climax in the same way. Because like you said, the climax, you know, you were almost gracious in saying it lasted a chapter. That's mm-hmm. really even being kind, because really it's all of three pages or so,
yeah.
Where the climax occurs, and it's really great, but this conflict could have lasted much longer. It could have been more interesting. There could have been more planning.
Yeah, and I also feel like the pacing of the book, it's a lot of build up for a very, very long time, and every time that there was a little bit of fast paced action, it lasted for a second, and then you're back to that slow kind of build up again.
So, certainly.
And it just so happened, it felt like every time at the end of our quarter reading that we were kind of building up, but then right after that, the pace would kind of drop back down again. So it's hard for me. I'm interested to see what happens to Aragorn. I just don't know that I'm interested enough to invest the time commitment that this series is gonna require.
So I have a question for you then. Mm-hmm. If you read the review for the second book and you saw the same complaint about the climax being so short, would that convince you to just skip the book?
It might. I think if I do read the sequels, it's gonna be a long time down the road. I can see myself coming back to these in a long time, but I'm not picking up Eldest tomorrow. I'm not picking it up tonight like I would like to do with some other series that I've read.
You see, and I'm actually very excited to continue reading. I probably will read Eldest in the near future. I will just have, you know, I'll have some expectations for it, and we'll see if it meets them.
Yeah, and books like this, that are kind of slower and kind of hard to get into, I want to gravitate towards listening to them on audiobook, because a lot of times that can help me get through it, but I felt like the audiobook was poorly executed, so it's just not faring for me right now.
Well, and if I were to try to convince someone to get into the fantasy genre, this would probably not be the series so far that I would recommend. There are so many great, masterfully written fantasy epics.
Yeah, and that might kind of play into why people that read it at a younger age like it, mm-hmm. because they haven't, at that point, you're not introduced to better novels. You know, like, so people that read it when they were younger don't really have the same standards because they don't have as many books to compare it to at that point. So, I don't know. Just to me, it fell a little bit flat.
Yeah, and all of the similarities to The Lord of the Rings, I feel like anyone who has already read The Lord of the Rings first, you know, might read this and pick up on those things. I think that maybe it borrowed a little too heavily.
Yeah.
From its inspirational sources. But someone that, you know, read this before they read The Lord of the Rings maybe thought these were, you know, very original ideas.
Yeah. What scene stuck with you now that you've finished the book? What scene is memorable in your mind?
I think that the scene that's most memorable to me is actually King Galbatorix speaking with Murtagh. When King Galbatorix convinces Murtagh to join his cause, he gives this grand plan for his empire. And he's so convincing. It's really the only time in the book, as far as I can remember, that we ever heard King Galbatorix speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really memorable to me because of how much influence his words had immediately over Murtagh. He wasn't just accepting of the role with Galbatorix. He was inspired. He was ready to crusade. He was ready to join his cause and do really anything that he needed to do to make this grand vision of the Empire reality. And that makes me really excited for the future books, because I really hope they go more into King Galbatorix's story himself, and I hope he gets to play a more prominent role and we get to see what kind of powers does he have. He's been a writer for 100 years.
I think for me, one of my kind of most memorable moments is partly when his uncle dies. That scene is really memorable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Carvalho and the townspeople there and the buildup of all of that, Aragorn's cousin, all of these stories and all of these characters that we met and really kind of got some connection to that never have been brought back up.
They just get left behind.
Yeah, which is just crazy to me that we don't ever get to find out. We don't get to find out what happens between Rohirrim, and we don't get to find out about Rohirrim and Catarina. We don't get to find out about Rohirrim finding out about his dad dying or his house being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Some characters early on that I was really interested in. Horst, I wanted to know if his intentions were good. So there's just so many people and characters. The traveling market that came through Carvalhal, mm-hmm. and the destruction they had in their towns. There are just so many things that I felt were kind of left unfinished. And those scenes are really memorable to me because I've been longing to find out what happens. It's just shocking to me that we never even circle back to Rohirrim and anything like that.
Yeah, that is extremely surprising.
So, yeah, those are kind of the scenes that have stuck in my mind. Another thing that really helps me determine my rating and if I give a book a higher rating is whether I would reread it or not. So do you think that you would ever reread Aragorn?
No, I definitely would not reread Aragorn.
I can't see myself rereading it either.
And it's, you know, it's really that there's not enough going on that I would feel like I would need to reread it for additional context.
We can just re-listen to the podcast if we need a refresher.
Honestly. And if I really felt like I needed a refresher, I would probably read the last 3 chapters.
Yeah. Okay, so that's kind of all of the discussion points that I really wanted to hit as we're finishing it up. So is there anything else that you want to talk about or bring up about the book?
Your favorite and your least favorite character with the whole book in your background.
Ooh, that's so hard. My favorite character is probably Saphira, not the audiobook version of Saphira. But I love Saphira. I love her sassy attitude. I love that she grounds Aragorn a lot, mm-hmm. even though she's younger than Aragorn. She's much wiser in maturity. She helps him with all these crazy decisions that he's trying to make. So I really like her because she's grounded and sassy, and she's just a great character.
And your least favorite?
My least favorite, it kind of changed throughout the book. Aragorn's one of my least favorite characters. No, I'm just kidding. I don't like all of his decisions, but I understand he's 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I can justify some of those. I really don't know who my least favorite character is. I feel like, I don't want to say the twins because I feel like they're cliche, and of course you're like made out to not like them, and yes. I don't want to not like a character just because they're made out to not like them. Same thing with the king. I don't want to say he's my least favorite because he's made out for me not to like him. I want to like characters because I like them or dislike them, not because the author made me like them or dislike them. Yeah, I don't really have a least favorite character that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, my least favorite character is certainly Aragorn.
Is Aragorn.
Aragorn is definitely my least favorite character. And it's sad because he's the one that's, you know, driving the story. And it's because of the things that we've talked about. I won't hash them, you know, for the fifth time. But
yeah, I agree. I want to say Aragorn too, but at the same time, I feel like I can justify some of his reasoning.
Some of the things. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's definitely not the best, and he's not the best main character.
He is growing at the end of the book. He does get better, but only slightly so.
Yeah, a lot of his decisions I definitely don't agree with.
I think my favorite character so far is Murtagh.
I do really like Murtagh. He has such an interesting backstory, mm-hmm. and his morals seem really strong, except for that one time he cut the head off the two.
Well, and even that, you know, within the context of slavery, can be understood. And his position is very interesting. And so when I was reading Murtaugh's story when I was picturing him. I kind of pictured him as Adam Driver playing like Kylo Ren from Star Wars for some reason, because the moral dilemmas and the position between greater forces that Kylo Ren is in the new Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I looked up some of the reviews I saw. They said that Aragorn is a mix of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, which is super interesting. And Murtaugh doesn't fit cleanly into a cliche of good or evil. He doesn't fit into any of the factions directly. He seems powerful, somewhat like Aragorn, not quite as powerful. But he seems like whatever he chooses to do, he'll be very driven to get it done. I feel like he is capable of a lot. So it'll be interesting for me, at least, to see what he chooses to do and how that impacts the outcome of the Alagasia.
I'm interested to see what happens with the twins. They mentioned before that there was a traitor amongst them.
Yeah, I was
so
gonna say that.
You know.
I feel like they were the traitors. We could be wrong.
Now,
but
if they are the traitors, to me, that's another easy out that the author's written in. But
certainly, that one is like a that one is too cliche.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out what happened with them. But all of the kind of trailing them along and all of that, it kind of seems like that's where it's leading. I think that's kind of all we have to talk about with Aragorn. So I hope you join us with our next book. Christian's leaving us, unfortunately, but like I've mentioned, he's my husband, so I will probably drag him back into this again.
I would be excited to do another book with you, Malachi.
Thanks. But I hope you guys listen in with me and Sarah. I am loving A Girl's Guide to Murder right now. It is definitely page turning and the pace is much faster than Aragorn. And I'm really enjoying it so far. So I hope you guys tune in. New episodes will be up every Monday. And I hope you guys enjoyed reading Aragorn with us. It was still fun, even though it wasn't my favorite book. And obviously we had lots to talk about with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it for this episode. That's it for today's episode of Judge a Book. If you enjoyed, please make sure to give us a 5-star review before you go. Connect with me on social media. They're all linked in the pod description. And don't forget, next Monday, a new episode of Book Club will be released, and we can once again judge a book.